good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Welcome to winter on this Wednesday, December the 21st, 2016. First day of winter, shortest day of daylight hours that we will have all year. Just seems like yesterday it was fall. Scott Spears along with you over the next 2 hours, 12:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, coming up on 12:15. Now, we are only 4 days away from Christmas, can you believe that? And 3 days away from Christmas Eve. Well, what do the holidays mean to you? To me, the holidays mean family. Family and friends and catching up and a little bit of gossip and a little bit of holiday food and a little bit of sentimental cheer that we only get to share this time of year. I wish we shared it more, but it seems like this time of year it is certainly more prevalent. So when I look down the list of guests that we have on this show, there is only one person who seems like family. And she, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. She is my all-time favorite guest. And it's not just because she comes on so often. It's because we ask her to come on so often. And every time she comes on, I feel better when she leaves than when she comes. And aside from all that, she's one of the most talented actresses in the history of the business. And the Emmy she won proves that very it's definitely proof positive. Worked with all the great stars, but you probably know her best because of your kids as the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid, which just continues to go on and on and on and will be on after we are all gone. It is my esteemed pleasure to welcome during this holiday season one of my favorite people, Pat Carroll. Pat, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Scott. What a lovely introduction. You're a nice person. Merry and very to you, sir.
And
I hope this next year is the best you've ever had, with all God's blessings on your head.
Well, and right back at you. And next year, Pat, 2017 is kind of a hallmark year for you.
I'm going to be 90.
90? How do you feel about that?
Can you believe it?
I don't believe it, because you don't...
I think I'm going to be 90. I tell you, that's... I just found out recently that I wasn't 86, I was 89. I've been living in this honky world of wrong numbers.
Is that
it's
right?
It's most exciting to find out I've been corrected. Oh, isn't life a kick in the britches?
Oh, but Pat, I think you, because in your profession, acting, I think you went the wrong way. I think most actresses go backward on their age, not forward.
Oh, I love it. I don't care what age I am, just so I'm alive.
And you are kicking.
It doesn't make any difference. They're all numbers, Scott. They don't mean a doggone thing. It's just, are you living your life? Are you enjoying your life? If you aren't, change it.
And are you enjoying your life?
Oh, every day. Every surprise to me. And I love it. I love it. I love hearing from people. I've had such a ball during this December of calling everybody in my address book. And listen, I think they're calling back.
It might be. It very well could be. Pat, what is your favorite thing to do at the holiday time?
In the holiday time, it's to call my friends, family members, and everybody I know and love, because I want them to know that I think about them, I say prayers for them, and I am so happy they are in my life. You know, we got to let people know that we're happy that they are in our life. We really do, because they don't hear it enough. And I think we are very fortunate to have family and friends in our life shoring us up. And that is all year long. It's not just at the Yuletide and the New Year. It's all year long, and aren't we fortunate? Say prayers for your family during this time, everybody, too. Just remember them very specially around the holidays. And thank God for them.
Absolutely. What will you be doing this Christmas Day, Pat?
I probably will be overeating. I love Christmas food. I love Christmas tables and the company of the tables. It's just such a happy holiday. I love to be with families so I can be around children. It's such a special holiday for kids. And I love to be around them because they're full of wonder and excitement. And it's marvelous. It gives you an extra shot of energy just to be around the young folks.
Will you be with your family this year on the holiday?
No, I will not. I won't be going back to Los Angeles until just before Easter. Because I'll tell you, Scott, at my age and my physical condition, the holiday crowds are almost impossible for me to bear, and there's a lot of standing in lines, which I just can't physically do. So I have chosen not to go to Los Angeles for Christmas, but I'll be there for Easter.
And you will have a nice holiday at home.
Oh, yes, and with my two daughters and my wonderful granddaughter, who is now 16 and gorgeous. And she's so bright, and she's beginning to go around with her father and check colleges as to where she'll go to college. I'm so excited to find out what her choice will be.
You know, that's one of the things that's interesting. For years in this area, we had what was called a charity ball, and they had it every year at Christmas time, about a week before Christmas, because all the kids came back from college and talked to the high school kids, and everybody found out, well, what's that college like? What's the new year going to be like?
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, and it becomes a nice tradition at Christmas.
And it's wonderful for the youngsters who are talking about where they're going, and it's certainly great for the kids who are listening.
Absolutely.
Because I think a college selection for each kid is so important. If it isn't the right school, they're going to know it right away because it's got to fit like a beautiful coat or it won't work for them.
Absolutely. Pat, when you look back, because technically, I guess this would be, because we don't count our first year, this would be your 90th Christmas.
Yes, it would.
What memories stick out to you in 90 years of Yuletide?
My earliest memories of being with my mother and my father. I was an only child, so I had no siblings. But they gave me such a wonderful life. I can't thank them enough. The only thing I can do is say prayers for them. But they gave me such a wonderful life. And I grew up during the Depression, and we didn't have a lot of money. But there was always food on the table. My papa made sure of that. And those two wonderful parents worked so hard to give me a magnificent education and a good life. And I always appreciate them. And I think all of us should voice our thanks to our parents who worked so hard to give us the best they could give us. They deserve the thanks that we owe them.
And even though they're not here anymore, they hear it.
Oh, I know they do.
Yeah.
I know they do. And I think there's a grin on their faces. Because, it really is, kids forget to thank their parents just for the life they've been given and the way they've been treated. And pray God it was treated well. But I've never known any parents who were bad to their kids. Wasn't I fortunate? And I include myself among that group. But I think these holidays around the Christmastide and the New Year should all bring us back to thanks to our parents, because they were our beginning. They were the way we were brought up, and they worked very hard in our behalf, and we owe them great thanks always.
Pat, there is so much talk this time of year, especially about faith. And you obviously have a very strong faith. There are a lot of people. That's one of the downsides, unfortunately, when you live a great long life, is that you have to say goodbye to a lot of people.
Absolutely.
What keeps your faith going strong, that you will see these people again and that they do hear you?
And they do what?
And they do hear you when you pray to them.
Oh, every day, because I believe that, it's like conversation. You know that if you talk to your friends, they're not going to turn you off. You know, you're going to have a conversation. Well, I figure I have that every day with the people I pray for.
Absolutely.
And I hope they hear me loud and clear, And I hope that my gratitude to all the people from my family and my friends who've gone ahead of me will yank me in by the seat of my britches into the heavenly choir.
Absolutely. But hopefully a little while. We've still got some time.
Oh, I hope so. Listen, whatever time God gives me, I don't care. It's been a ball so far. Why would it change?
Absolutely. You know, Pat, when people, I hear people say all the time, when they get maybe in their 60s and 70s, they say, I never thought I'd make it this long. And then I've talked to some people. I remember talking to Phyllis Diller when she got to 90. She said, I never thought about living that long. People didn't do that. Do you think
No.
about that? Did you ever think you'd make it to 90?
Oh, yes. I was very hopeful I would because I wanted to be an old lady and be grouchy. Because I've always been so damn cheerful. It's boring. But a little grouchiness gives you character.
You got to get that grouchy out in Ursula, that's for sure.
Isn't it the truth? You know, people think that actresses hate doing mean characters. No, it's the one way we can be mean and people appreciate it. If you're mean in real life, people don't like it, and I don't blame them. None of us like it.
Pat, there are two questions I'm going to ask you before I play a clip here, and I want you to think on them for a moment. I want you to think of your favorite Christmas food, because we've talked about food, and your favorite Christmas carol. But before we do that, everybody remembers Pat Carroll, of course, as the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid. But a few years earlier, there is a TV special which is still played, A Garfield Christmas. Honest to goodness, long before I ever talked to Pat Carroll on the telephone, this was my favorite special. Well, this is Garfield talking to Grandma in that special. You might recognize one of the voices. Here's a little clip of A Garfield Christmas.
Why, hello, Garfield. How did you know I needed a kitty in my lap?
Wild guess.
Since Grandpa passed on, I've whiled away many a lonely hour rocking and stroking my cats.
I envy those cats.
Grandpa was a proud man, a strong man. He was a good provider. We never had much money, but we always had plenty of food on the table. And he always made something special for me and each of the children at Christmas. Men like him didn't feel like they could show much affection outwardly to the children, but on Christmas, it was okay. He always pretended not to be excited on Christmas morning, but his eyes gave him away. I think it was his favorite day of the year. Sometimes I wake up in the night, and I can still feel his strong arms around me. This is the night I miss him the most.
Now, Pat, I think I recognize the voice of Grandma there.
Yes. Yes. That is the voice of Grandma.
Now, she, obviously, this was early days of voiceover. You were really a pioneer in that field. Grandma does not sound like Ursula. When you're doing an animated character, what did you feel, or do you remember? It's been about 30 years now. Hard to believe. Is it in the script when it comes to an animated character how you'll do the voice?
I get that's why it's very important to see the drawings of. Oh, I'm sorry, someone's calling and I'm not answering. To see the drawings of the character, so you get a physical sense of what they looked like, what their personality seemed to be, and then it's the fun of trying. Edges of your voice to match your idea of what they would sound like. That's great fun.
You know, that speech between Grandma and Garfield, and of course, I don't think we've said it yet, but of course Pat Carroll was the voice of Grandma there. That is a very touching moment for an animated special. I felt.
You think so?
I really do. I think that was a very well-written speech. A lot of times animation doesn't get too deep.
Yeah.
I thought that was a very nice moment talking about...
Oh, thank you. Lovely. Thank you very much.
Well, you know
as an actor, you can only perform what's written on the page. So the writers always deserve great credit if that character comes across, because it's their writing, their words, that help you as an actor deliver them the way you think the character would.
You know,
and that's fun. That's exciting. It's like being a detective. It's wonderful. I love everything about my profession, but mostly I love the work. Because it takes imagination, it takes energy, and it takes a certain amount of experience to be able to drag up what you, as the performer, think that person would sound like. It's very exciting work.
Do you still like working today? Would you like to go do a sitcom when you're out in L.A. this coming Easter?
No, because physically, being in front of cameras, very exhausting. That's hard work for everyone. I don't care how young they are. It's hard work. And at this age, I prefer voiceovers because I can use my voice 24 hours a day, and I don't seem to ruin it. I take care of it. I try to, and I use it. And I think, like everything else in your life, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. So that's why I keep working, because I enjoy it so much.
And we enjoy you. I just had a question come up here, Pat. Somebody was asking me, is there a difference in your mind between... Because Grandma there in the Garfield special had a little twang, kind of a southern accent.
Right, right. Well, that's my background. You know, I was born in Shreveport, Louisiana.
You know, we've never...
I'm a Louisiana gal.
Well, what were Christmases like in Shreveport?
Oh, Lord, I don't remember, because my parents moved from Shreveport to Los... No, they moved to Texas first, to El Paso, Texas. So I grew up being called Bootsy because I always had cowboy boots on. Oh, I was a cutie pie. And then they moved to L.A. So my ideas of Christmas ranged from Louisiana to Texas to L.A.
Mm. So moved a lot when you were a child.
Yes, my parents did. But when they moved to Los Angeles, they had found Mecca. And my mother died in L.A., having lived there a good 50 years. So she was very young when she and my dad went to L.A. And I think they loved every minute of it. They loved the weather. They loved the people. They loved the lifestyle. They had a good life. So did I. I loved growing up in L.A.
You know, Pat, in my mind's eye, when I picture your parents, especially your mother, I have to think... They must have been very kind, very jovial people to produce a child like you.
Oh, aren't you nice? They would be thrilled to death to hear that, and they're listening right now.
Absolutely.
I don't know, but I do know that I was very happy to have my mom and dad as my parents. They were wonderful people. My dad was 6 feet tall, and my mother was 5'1". So we looked like the three apes walking down the street when I was a tiny girl. But what wonderful parents they were. I bless them. I hope I remember every day of my life. They gave me such a good life, and I grew up during the Depression in L.A., and we didn't have a lot, but there was always food on the table. Thank you, my parents, and thank you, God. So, you know, I had a good life, and my mother always said, "We're not poor, we just don't have any money." Which I love, because there is a distinction. You are not poor if you have love in your life and if you have joy in your life, and they don't cost a penny.
That's a very nice sentiment. Pat, the question...
Well, I hope so, because I believe it.
And
I think people without love are people, I don't care if they're millionaires, they have nothing.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. The question that I did have here, Pat, that somebody had sent me was, they were talking about Grandma there with the Southern accent, but they said, is Pat Carroll's voice different than Ursula's voice? Do you think it is? Is there a difference there, Pat?
No, because the quality of the voice is the same. It's how you use it, and it's the force, because Ursula is loud. She is one big, loud pussycat. But the quality of the voice is the same, I think. I may be wrong, but I think it's the same voice. It's just used differently.
If I would say, Ursula, wish us a Merry Christmas, would your voice change to do that?
Probably, because I'd practically be yelling. You know, she's a loud thing, isn't she? And I think always of the energy with Ursula, because she's big, and she's enthusiastic, and she's pushy. So when she says or does something, it's bigger than life. And that's the way I always played her. I may be wrong, but that's the way I saw good old Ursula. She was a piece of work.
If Ursula wished us a Merry Christmas, what would it sound like?
Oh, I hope to have the most marvelous Christmas and New Year on record.
You know, Pat, there is a difference.
Of course there is.
That's wonderful.
It's because whatever the character to the actor means, it's up to the actor to do what they imagine. And that's half the fun of acting.
You know, it's interesting.
And I just think actors are so fortunate, and I don't care. Sometimes you get down because you don't have work. Don't worry about it. What you bring to your work is the important thing, and people know the difference, and most actors love what they do. So they bring love and energy and enthusiasm to whatever character they play.
Well, that is so interesting, because when I talk to you, I think, well, that's the voice I hear in The Little Mermaid, but when you do it, it takes me to the movie. There is a difference. That's strange how your mind does that to you.
Yeah. And it's up to the actor to use the vocal cords and whatever his or her imagination brings to that character every time they do it. It's half the fun of acting.
Do you decorate any more for Christmas, Pat? Decorate the house?
I don't, because I don't have the energy. My mother... You couldn't move in our house at Christmas time. It was so decorated. We were just another ornament on the tree. But I do not have that energy anymore. I hate to say I do very little decorating, because then you have to take it down. And that is more exhausting than putting it up.
Isn't it, though?
But I love a house that is decorated. My mother's home was always decorated to the nines, and she enjoyed every second of decorating it. Christmas was the most joyful event in our home. And my mother decorated and entertained for every holiday, including Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day. If there were a special day for the country, she'd do that, too. She loved decorating and entertaining for pleasure for family and friends. She just adored it. She was the perfect hostess. And I look forward to every holiday, because no matter how tiny it would be, she would celebrate it. Isn't that marvelous?
That's a great, great way to grow up.
Yes, it was. And I have to thank her for that, because she celebrated life and she had her daughter in it. And I loved every holiday, and no matter how tiny, Saints' Days, she would even decorate, plan, and entertain on Saints' Days. I mean, that woman loved to entertain people and to decorate her home.
Pat, did your parents live to see you get to be a well-known actress?
Yes, they did. My mother longer than my dad. But my dad was so proud, because I think secretly he had always wanted to be an actor. And because he grew up in the South in a very poor family, there was no talk or thinking about acting where there was no guaranteed salary. So I think he grew up in his heart with the joy and pleasure of knowing at least his daughter fulfilled his dreams. And he would come and see me in everything, as did Mom. But for Dad, it was very special because I was doing what he had wanted to do and wasn't able to. And he was 6'3", handsome man, and a southern gentleman. So I'll tell you, on the streets of Los Angeles, he opened doors, he let ladies go first on the escalator, in the elevator, and with that southern accent, they all thought they had just met Rhett Butler. Isn't that wonderful? Those are my memories of my dad. He was a southern gentleman to the core, thank you very much. And he and my mother were adorable because he was 6'3" and she was 5 feet. And when I was a tiny tot, we were the three little apes walking down the street. But he was a handsome man and a gentleman. I learned that very long. I could always, as I grew up, tell the young men who were gentlemen and who weren't from my dad.
Mm. Pat, when you will have this dinner on Christmas Day, is there something that you want on the table every year at Christmas time, a special maybe Christmas dessert, or is there something that is always there for you?
Cornbread.
Cornbread's good.
Yeah, well, it goes back to my southern birth. Cornbread was a festive piece of food in my lifetime. It was always celebrated, and oh, the cornbread my mother made, it was fantastic. I could, and the second day cornbread was the best, with peanut butter and jelly on it. Oh, wow. Now that was feasting.
I bet so. That sounds pretty good. You know, Pat,
doesn't it?
Well, it's delicious, but I was tricked last year at Christmas. And I hate to tell this story in the holiday time, but I had never had fruitcake. I don't know how I avoided it for so long.
Oh, do you like fruitcake?
Oh, no. That was the worst mistake I ever made.
I thought that would be the answer.
Oh.
I think most men don't like fruitcake.
You know, I don't know what is wrong with it, because it sounds good in theory, Pat. And when people gave it to me last year, I thought, I like fruit. I like cake. Yeah. This has got to be good. And then I took a bite. And I didn't think I was going to see another Christmas. It was that bad.
Did it make you sick?
Oh, I couldn't even swallow it. It was, it just...
Oh, Scott, I'm so sorry you're missing one of life's great treats, fruitcake.
Oh, you like fruitcake?
I love fruitcake. My grandmother used to make a fruitcake that would stop your heart. That had so much starch in it, it stood up by itself. But was it good? Oh, yummy, yum, yummers.
You know, maybe I'm just eating the wrong... See, because now I'm put off by the fruitcake I had. I'm sure there are different ways people cook it.
Oh, there are different recipes. It has to do with each woman who makes a fruitcake. Those are all family recipes, and they're usually handed down, and generations have eaten them, and there you go.
Absolutely. You know, Pat, what is it every year? When I think about this time, I think about the mood. And there are a lot of people who say it's too commercial and such and such and such. But, you know, when I walk into a department store, and I still do that, I'm not all online yet with my shopping like everybody else. But when I walk in and I see the Christmas trees and I hear those great old songs playing, people do seem to be in a better mood.
Of course they do, because they know what Christmas stands for. They know that people are going to act nicer. They're going to be more friendly because they're reacting to the idea of the Christmas holiday also. Whether people practice it or not doesn't make any difference. People are affected by the mood of Christmas holidays. And it's a wonderful mood because it has to do with family and affection and memories and projections to the future. It's wonderful.
You know, somebody said something to me the other day, and I had not thought about it in a long time. I said, "What is your favorite memory of Christmas?" And the person said, "Oranges." And I thought,
"Oranges."
Yeah, that is a Christmas tradition that has went by the wayside. Do you remember when people used to have oranges out at Christmas time?
No.
Yeah, maybe.
But
that...
I grew up in California, and we always had oranges out.
It might have been a Midwest thing, but I
think it might be, because that would not be unusual to me, because they were out all the time.
Yeah, here in the Midwest, at Christmas, people would set out oranges, just like they would set out ornaments, and on Christmas Eve, they would peel them, and then they would put the peels in boiling water, and the whole house would smell like oranges.
Oh, how wonderful. What a great thing to do. Because that orange smell is, to me, so clean and so healthy and so tasty.
Yeah, and I don't know where, and it was the first time in 20 years.
And this was in the Midwest.
In the Midwest, they used to do that. A matter of fact, kids used to get oranges in their stockings. That used to be a stocking stuffer.
I remember oranges in the stockings.
Yeah, and when is the last time you've heard about oranges at Christmas? It's went by the wayside.
Haven't.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that tradition. I thought
that
was a good one.
Isn't that funny? And where did it come from?
You know, I'm going to have to figure that one out because
you better do some research on it and share.
I'm going to have to because oranges were a tremendous thing at Christmas.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. You know, Pat, would you say there's any difference between Christmas as a child, Christmas as a parent, and Christmas today in your life?
Oh, of course. It's all different. And particularly when you have, as a kid, I think all of us, you know, we look back to our Christmases as kids as very special, and they were. But when you have kids, and you are holding Christmas essentially for them, and trying to do things that will please them, and give them memories for their later years, it's a totally different experience. Totally different. And now, I just enjoy, in fact, I have spent the past 2 weeks either on the phone or on one of my little note cards to be in contact with people, to talk with friends and family, to write to friends and family, to be in touch. Because to me, these holidays, Christmas, New Year's, is about family and it's about the love in your life and the people that you love in your life. And it's a very special time of the year. We don't treat Valentine's Day the same way.
No, we don't.
You know, and that's all about heart and affection and love. But these holidays are very special, and they have to do with family. And family, we just don't celebrate family enough. And it is, I think, one of the most important elements of any civilization. Because it's from family that kids learn everything they know, and as they grow up, everything they want to know. And I think it's very special, family. And we don't celebrate family enough, and we should. Because each and every family is different. They have different traditions. They have different histories. And they're all important.
You're absolutely right. And Pat, before we end this interview, which is going to be in a few minutes, our crack staff here is getting the explanation on why oranges are a part of Christmas. So we're going to have that before this segment's up.
Oh, good. Oh, I think people would enjoy that.
I think you're right. Now, while we wait for that, Pat, though, I was going to ask you, were you ever one of those great Christmas shoppers who goes in with the lists and knows what everybody wants and fights the crowds?
Never in my life. I would pay not to do that. It depresses me. I can't do it physically now at my age, and I'm so grateful for it. So I either send or I get from elsewhere. And the idea of people passing on family, you know, family things, to me is so wonderful because there's tradition in it. There's history in it. There's love in it. There's family in it. I love that.
Absolutely. Did you like wrapping gifts?
Oh, I hated it because I have no ability to do that. I have no artistic ability. I'm all fumble fingers. So I would always ask my mama to do it because she was great.
She was great when it came to... Your wrapping can be difficult. There are people who have...
Oh, wrapping is artistry in itself. I think you have to have an ability to do Christmas wrappings. And when you see packages that make your eyes water because they're so beautiful, you know that person is very gifted and how hard it is. and how they should be complimented for their beautiful wrappings.
Hmm. Pet, we have the answer for oranges here. This is going to be good. Here is why oranges were a big thing at Christmas in people's stockings. Apparently, back before St. Nicholas was a saint, he was a bishop. Story goes he rode through a town where a shopkeeper had three beautiful daughters and he couldn't afford any dowry, which meant the girls would be destitute once their father passed away. Bishop Nicholas, realizing the father was a proud man, tossed three sacks of gold through an open window or down a chimney, depending on where you read it, while the family was sleeping, and one of the bags landed in the toe of a stocking that had been hung by the fire to dry. When the family awakened in the morning, they found the gold, including the one in the sock, which had turned into a ball overnight. And that's how oranges, they represent gold.
Oh, is that a wonderful tale.
And apparently that became big during World War II when people did not have a lot of money to buy things. They gave the oranges because it represented gold.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
The things you
learn. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, I am, you know, I never knew. Now we all know why. I think people should get back to that. I'm going to give somebody an orange this year for Christmas.
And let them ask you why.
Yeah, and that's a great story because that is a very rarely heard story, I think.
Yes, it is, and that's a wonderful one. Thank you for sharing it. I'm sure your listeners are all very pleased about that.
Pat, I do want to ask you something here. Favorite Christmas carol that goes along with the holidays?
I adore them all. I hate to say that. Any Christmas carol I just love to hear, but Hark the Herald Angels Sing is my favorite.
You know, I love that one, and the two that have grown on me the last couple years are, that's terrible. It just went right out of my head. But the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Oh, it's a lovely song. You can smell everything that you sing about.
And apparently Mel Torme wrote that in something like an hour.
Probably. He was a very talented guy, you know.
Prolific. Did you know Mel Torme?
I knew him. He was not a close friend, but I had worked with him, and we had passed, and we were always very cordial, and I found him a very charming human being, plus being very talented.
Absolutely. I just remember the other one, The First Noel, has really grown on me recently.
Really?
Yeah. I kind of like that one.
The First Noel, the angels did sing. Oh, it's a pretty song, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. You know, Pat, have you ever thought about recording a CD? You do have such a great voice, and you've kept it working so well so many years.
I have never thought about it, but I would certainly love to do it because I love to sing. I don't have a great voice, but I can keep a tune, and you can tell I enjoy it, and I think that's very important. That's what I first noticed about Meryl Streep. She loved singing. At the end of one of the first films she was in, she was sitting on a tabletop someplace and singing, and I looked at her and I said, that woman loves singing. And every time she sings in a film, I am happy because I know she's happy.
Well, you know, I think that does translate. When you look up on the screen or you get a CD, or even back in the days of records, you can tell if somebody likes what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I always adored Bing Crosby. He loved everything he sang.
Bing Crosby. Now, there's a guy who's synonymous with Christmas.
Oh, isn't it the truth? And didn't his voice represent Christmas musically? Oh, he was so wonderful.
Oh, and
we've had a lot of good artists from our day and time, I must say, and there are many gifted artists today, thank God. Thank God that's one of the gifts that he spreads around with no limitations, talent. And when people use it, they are blessed.
Do you think today, Pat, people have more talent, or because of the internet, is that becoming less?
I can't tell. I don't know the difference. You know people with talent when you hear them or see them. What their pleasure, enjoyment, or commitment is, I don't know. But I just think we're fortunate to have so many different kinds of translations of talent. Television, radio, records, because we can keep the things that we enjoy and hear over and over and over again like kids. And I think that's still important to us as adults.
Mm. Pat,
and I love to listen to singers that I enjoy. Mel Torme is one. He has an offbeat voice, but his retention of musicality is so fabulous. I can listen to him for hours.
And truly, the Velvet Fog, as he was known.
The what?
The Velvet Fog.
Yes, he is the Velvet Fog. He is indeed. And I find his voice very soothing.
Pat, you know what I have to say. I opened up the program this way, and I must close the same way. Because at Christmas, we really should, as you said, get on the phone and express to people how we feel about them. And every time I call you, 90% of the time, if you are available, you come on, and it is a joy. And this does feel, we have not covered any, this has not been a, then I sang, then I wrote, this is what I did. Nobody's selling anything. This is just talking to a family member.
No, we're just talking. We're having a visit.
Yeah.
We're having a holiday visit, and that's very important. And everybody, get on your bloody phone and call your family and your friends and let them know you think about them at the holidays. Just contact with people. Send them love.
And my absolute hallmark on this holiday is just simply to say, Merry Christmas, Pat. You are an American treasure, without question.
Oh, you're very dear. God bless you, and may your Christmas be wonderful, the best ever, and the year ahead your finest.
You stay well, Pat, and I can't wait to talk again.
All right, I too. Talk to you soon. Just have wonderful holidays and a year ahead like you've never had before.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Pat Carroll, well, it doesn't get any better than that. And of course, Sean over here, because now he's only got 5 minutes to speak, he's all upset. Go ahead, this is your 5 minutes. Talk.
That's another laugh.
No, I don't think she laughed like that.
I don't know how she laughed. I don't know.
That was horrible.
I just like her laugh.
People in the cars just crash after hearing something that you did.
I don't know how she laughs.
So, like, you were hawking up a piece of steak that was stuck in your throat.
Oh, speaking of that steak, yeah. The Heimlich maneuver. Poor guy. Passed
See,
away.
He didn't pass away. Yeah, the guy doctor, who had the steak stuck in his throat didn't pass
no,
away.
No, I'm talking about
did
the...
You want me to interrupt
the guy
Pat,
that,
did you want me to interrupt my holiday visit with Pat Carroll for you?
No, I just wanted you to ask her about soup beans.
What about soup beans?
Cornbread and soup beans are delicious.
No, no.
I bet she's a southern girl.
Well, she's from... Do you remember where she's from?
Louisiana.
Where?
I can't think of the name of the city now.
And where'd she move after that?
To Texas.
And then?
To L.A.
Yes, but what? Where was she born?
I'm not sure. I can't remember.
See, that you don't listen. That's your whole problem.
I was zoning out
You're
because
sitting over there thinking soup beans, soup beans, soup beans.
All I remember is that you said, "Oh, okay, it'd be 15-minute interview, and it turned into an hour."
Do you want me to cut her off? Would you have had me cut Pat?
So
Carroll
I kind of just like lost.
Would you want me to cut Pat Carroll off?
No, I mean I just figured you could have zoned it out a little bit more.
Now, do you think people want to hear you, or they want to hear Pat Carroll?
Who knows? Maybe Pat Carroll, because she is a one of a kind.
You'll be back tomorrow, won't you?
She,
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, I won't have anybody scheduled tomorrow. You can do whatever you want. Go home and get the tradition of soup beans out. And come
do you,
with, come
you
back
don't like soup
tomorrow.
Beans?
No.
Oh, they are delicious.
Do not like soup beans.
Put your cornbread in the soup beans, put butter on top of it, and stir it all around?
I don't like soup beans, and I don't like to sit next to anybody who's eaten soup beans after they've done it. So I don't like either one of those things.
Oh, soup beans.
See, 2 minutes left, and you're still not emote.
I just want to say Merry Christmas.
Well, you'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Christmas isn't until Sunday.
Yeah.
Christmas Eve, Saturday night.
Yep. Christmas Eve. It's going to be a wonderful night. I have two parties to go to.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, two get-togethers.
You'll eat a lot?
No, I don't want to go eat both places.
I've seen you eat.
Oh, thank you.
I've seen you eat.
I appreciate that.
There's nothing wrong. I've seen you eat.
I actually cut back on eating lately.
Well, when was that? Five minutes ago?
No, I don't eat as much anymore.
You remember the line from Gallagher, don't you?
Yes, I spit my gum out.
You said to get... Well, you got to say what... People don't understand what you're saying. You spit your gum out. You were sitting in a car with Gallagher. You were trying to talk to him. You got all flustered.
Oh, he was a depressed man.
But you said... He wasn't depressed when he ripped this out. You said, hey, I've lost 10 pounds. And he said, what'd you do, spit your gum out?
Yeah, I know.
That's Gallagher's humor for you in the holiday time. But Pat Carroll, we thank her for coming on.
We're very wonderful. That was a very good interview, by the way.
Well, thank you after he complained about it.
Oh.
And coming up in 15 minutes, we are going to have... Larry Jefferson, the first African-American Santa at the Mall of America this year, and then Joan Maurer, Mo Howard's daughter of the Three Stooges.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I used
to
watch
Santa Claus the other night.
Oh, yeah. I know.
You're sliding right down.
No, I mean, I used to watch the reruns of Three Stooges. It's pretty cool.
So don't forget, Larry Jefferson, first African-American Santa at the Mall of America next hour. And then at 1:30, we will have Joan Maurer, the daughter of Mo Howard of the Three Stooges. Stay tuned.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio.